on today's Run to the Top podcast.
You know, if you're going to do yoga, you really ought to spend your time doing something that is directly relevant to your specific sport and goal. Otherwise, it carries the risk of working against your training rather than with it.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. Erin Taylor is a pioneer in bringing yoga to athletes. She is on a mission to help as many athletes as possible to use yoga to achieve their goals. Erin founded Jazz Yoga to make the benefits of yoga accessible to athletes in a language and program that inspires action. She is the author of two books, Hit Reset, Revolutionary Yoga for Athletes, and Work In, The Athlete's Plan for Real Recovery and Winning Results. Erin's approach has been widely embraced by athletes in all sports and levels of competition and can be configured to help anyone achieve their goals and recover quickly and with hope. Let's take a short break before meeting Erin to acknowledge our Run to the Top sponsors. Getting ready for your summer and fall training? Join one of our free race-specific training classes where you'll learn how to target the right workouts in your training and get your questions answered so you can reach your potential and crush your PRs. Just head to runnersconnect.net/go. That's runnersconnect.net/go. Welcome back to Run to the Top podcast and our special guest, Erin Taylor, who has founded Jazz Yoga, a company offering yoga and the many ways it can help athletes. Welcome, Erin.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you here today. We'll start with our four always every podcast questions. I'll give them all four to you at the same time, then you get to answer. What is your age? Where were you born? Where are you currently living, and what is your favorite race distance or workout activity?
I'm 36. I was born in Berkeley, California. I am currently living in London, where I've been for the last 5 years in the UK, and I'm in the process of relocating to San Francisco. My favorite running distance is the 5K, which I mostly do with a double running stroller at the moment.
Well, that gives you a pretty good workout.
It does indeed. I need a lot of yoga after I run with the stroller.
Indeed. Well, thanks for sharing. How heavy is the stroller when you've got two kids in it?
It's really heavy. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. So I really try to run when I've just got a baby boy with me, but sometimes running with both of them is better than no run at all. So I'll just take what I can get.
Indeed. Understood. Okay. Well, then let's get into some of the talking points here. Tell us a bit about your personal background in fitness and how this led you to yoga as part of that life.
Well, I've always been an athlete. I grew up playing many different sports, soccer, basketball, track, cross country, rowing. I come from a very athletic family. My parents were both elite rowers. And so that was always part of my lifestyle growing up. And eventually I had a basketball scholarship to San Francisco State University, which is where I first ended up taking up yoga. I had a severe back injury as a freshman in college, and our team doctor prescribed yoga as part of my rehab. And so that was kind of really my first introduction to rolling out a mat and taking up some yoga, and just really got into it from there.
So using yoga as rehab was initially how you got into it. What kinds of exercises or what kind of practice were you doing at that point to recover from injury?
So at the time, the focus for me, because I had a back injury, really was working on core strength as well as overall flexibility. And, you know, at the time, you know, as an 18-year-old, I was, like many young athletes, I was pretty resistant to the idea of yoga. You know, it kind of conjures up, you know, stereotypes of sitting cross-legged and chanting on a mountainside and all these kinds of things. And I was in San Francisco at the time, though, so which has always historically been a real hot spot for yoga. And so there was a lot of yoga available. And I started taking some just general yoga classes that were available on campus. And I can remember at the time, you know, sitting in class, and it was a more traditional style of yoga where they're speaking Sanskrit, which is kind of the traditional language of yoga. And I remember sitting there and thinking to myself that I wished there was someone who could kind of translate or put into context how what we were doing could benefit me specifically as an athlete and as a basketball player. But like most injured athletes, I was just like desperate to get better so that I could get back out there and do the sport that I loved. And so I stayed with it, and pretty quickly I was able to start to feel some of the benefits in terms of just the way my body felt from increasing my flexibility and becoming more aware of how to activate and engage my core more effectively, and how to gain more control of my breathing, these types of things. I quickly started to get a real feel for some of the benefits. And you know, I started playing around even then with just some of my own ideas that I got about, you know, what might be more specifically relevant to my sport. And, you know, then carry on 6 months later, when I finally was clear to start really training with my team again and start playing ball again. And I was just like a different athlete. I just, wow. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't necessarily that I was, I mean, I definitely gained flexibility. I definitely gained strength, but, you know, it was more that I learned how to really use my body as the integrated unit that it's designed to be. I really gained an understanding of, you know, your body is engineered for a reason. It's engineered for balance. And, you know, the more we can find a balance of how to use our strength and flexibility in a really integrated way, it just optimizes everything. So touch wood, I've not been injured since then. And So that was just, you know, I was hooked at that point. I was really passionate about it. I was like the yoga weirdo of our team. All my teammates thought I was a bit of a nut, but I was really into it. And you know, obviously my love has really grown from there.
So you developed this company called Jazz Yoga. I don't know exactly when that started, but maybe tell us a bit about that and how Jazz Yoga is different than other yoga programs. You know, give us some insight into what Jazz Yoga is about.
Sure. So, you know, so after college, I was, you know, I actually started out working as a newspaper reporter, and then did some work as a journalist. And alongside that, was still feeling really passionate about yoga, but specifically bringing the benefits forward to athletes. Because, you know, as I said, at that time, there really were no sport-specific yoga solutions that existed. So over a couple of years while I was still in the Bay Area, I started to just really trial and error and kind of play around with things that I thought would be really applicable to specific sports. And gradually I started teaching, and I've now been teaching, you know, yoga to athletes for about 15 years. And, you know, over the years, my approach has come together as what's now called Jazz Yoga. It officially became Jazz Yoga in 2010, with the goal of providing athletes with an entry point, a really clear, accessible solution for how to use yoga, not necessarily to become yoga people, but to achieve their goals. And that's really what it's all about at the end of the day. It's about helping people to really use yoga to achieve their goals. And, you know, I've been fortunate over the years to work with many different athletes, many different kinds of sports. And kind of in my earlier years, I was training all the sports teams at the University of Washington, which was a great place to you know, continue to develop the approach and have access to many different athletes, many different sports, and gathering feedback and doing trial and error and really seeing over a number of years what works, for people. And so it's really grown from there.
And your program, your company offers online. I think you also do workshops, if I remember correctly. But talk about the online services that you offer, because you offer an extensive program for runners, but you also have other athletic subjects involved in, or you offer different kind of like specific to certain athletics, different yoga styles, different yoga programs.
Sure. So Jazz Yoga really kind of grew as a physical operation in Seattle. And when I moved to London 5 years ago, I launched Jazz Yoga Video, which is an online platform, covering a number of topics that are relevant to athletes. So Jazz Yoga Video, which you can find at video.jazzyoga.com, includes collections such as the Yoga for Runners collection, Yoga for Triathletes collection. So there's general like sport specific topics, but then there's also more general topics such as recovery and strength and cross training. We also have pre and postnatal videos for pregnant athletes. Nice. So we cover kind of a broad range of topics relevant to athletes in different sports.
So if I came on your website and was looking at something for runners, how would I get involved initially, just to figure out more about what you offer, what it costs, you know, the different aspects of your yoga program versus some other online or even yoga program in general?
Sure. I think this kind of comes back to your question, Stephanie, about just kind of what Jazz Yoga is and kind of how it maybe compares to other styles of yoga. Obviously, there is so much yoga out there today, which is fantastic, that people have so much available to them. Because really, I think with yoga, it's about really finding an approach and a teacher that really resonates for you. And, you know, that being said, with athletes of any kind, I always say, you know, if you're going to do yoga, you really ought to spend your time doing something that is directly relevant to your specific sport and goal. Mm. Otherwise, it carries the risk of working against your training rather than with it. So,
interesting.
We can talk more about that. But in terms of Jazz Yoga Video, you know, if you're a runner coming to the site, head right into the Yoga for Runners collection, where you'll find videos that cover many different topics, such as post-run reset, quick pre-run warm-up. There is a running efficiency boost. So you can try out different routines that are related to different aspects of your running and your training. You know, maybe you're feeling like, oh, I want to try a warm-up and see how that affects how I'll feel on my run. I think all runners, all of us can really benefit from a little bit of, you know, sports specific recovery time immediately post run. And the videos are designed to be, you know, short and sweet so that it's practical to actually fit them in on the go. Even, you know, immediately right when you finish your run, you can do it right there with your shoes still on. You don't need to, you know, go to a fancy yoga studio It's just available to you anytime. And I think that practicality is really important.
That's an interesting part of the way you're describing it, and what I've seen from what I've seen on your website is that you don't have to have a mat. You certainly don't have to be in a studio. I remember looking at a warm up with Alicia Montaño. How do you pronounce her last name?
Oh, Alicia Montaño. Well, so I should say, Nadia, you asked about the runner content. So we've got, you know, the Yoga for Runners library. And then in addition to that, we've done collaborations with a number of professional runners, including Olympian Alicia Montaño. She's filmed a few routines with us, so you can actually do a routine with her. Ultra runner Stephanie Violet. She's done a collection of videos with us as well. So these are routines based on, you know, content that these athletes have found useful. And we're actually in the process of developing more content like this so that runners can be inspired by other runners, not just by the yoga lady.
Right.
So we've had people, we've had really good feedback about those. And I'm just really excited about that content. And, you know, for runners to just provide that leadership, I think is really powerful.
And the content, the little quips are short. I don't know if you have some kind of maximum amount of time for each one, but they're short and you would be able to have them on your phone, right?
Yeah, exactly. They are short. Most of the routines are, you know, 5 to 10 minutes because we're busy people nowadays. And, you know, it's really that practicality I find is really what helps people to get it in and get results. We do have some longer routines as well, longer recovery videos for, you know, for your recovery day when you have maybe a bit more time to spend on a dedicated recovery session. And people get a lot of out of that as well. And I should say also, you know, so it's available on our site, and we have Jazz Yoga Video on an app now as well. So it's very, very accessible.
Nice. Now, a couple of questions. You have a lot of videos. You've made them, and now you've got other people who are making them with you, for you. How many videos are there altogether?
There's well over 100 now, with more on the way. So yeah, we've been building the library, and it's been, you know, it's been really fun to like hear people's requests. Those of you listening, if anyone has any requests for anything you don't see that you'd like to have, you know, the more specific, the better. And that's actually, I think, really, that's been really fun to do, is start to develop more and more specific content that really solves very specific problems. Especially, you know, for runners, there's a very common set of kind of injuries that most runners will face at some juncture, anything from, you know, plantar fasciitis to IT band pain, things like that. And so it's been great to develop different routines that address those issues.
Perfect lead into my next question, which is, if I'm a runner and I'm having IT band issues, what would be some kind of a workout program, yoga program that I could go through to help me deal with the IT band issues?
Yeah, and like I said, the IT band stuff is super common. With that, I always encourage runners to first really take a close look at their hips, because a lot of that stuff originates in the hips. And really spending some time mobilizing and working on your hip mobility and imbalances in that area is really key. So there are a number of hip stretching routines on Jazz Yoga Video, as well as there's a run specific hip mobility routine. I think that always with IT band stuff, really mobilizing your hips is a great place to start. And there's also, you know, for those of you who might be wanting to really kind of learn more about getting to the root of that, if you're experiencing IT band stuff or even knee stuff, I'd encourage you to have a look at my book, Hip Reset. There's a whole chapter that talks about mobilizing your hips and, you know, in the context of yoga and running and how to kind of not only manage any problems you might be having, but really also to prevent that kind of thing. Because I mean, let's be honest, none of us want to be sidelined with that kind of thing.
Right. Now, some of the workouts, some of the plans that I viewed online on video with you and with Alicia were pretty much just regular kind of stretching, strengthening kind of things that we would with body weight mostly. Can you talk about what the yoga factor is in there so that differentiates it from just normal kind of stretching or strengthening?
Sure. Yeah. I think it's really about, actually I should back up and say, I mean, I've really, over the years, I've really kind of intentionally tried to speak in a language that athletes can mm-hmm. hear. And for me, that's mm-hmm. meant really putting things into context. You know, I transport myself back to being on a mat for the first time as an athlete myself, and the teacher, you know, teaching some similar stretches even to things I would teach now, but speaking in Sanskrit and not providing any details about how what we're doing is going to benefit you in your sport. So it's for mm-hmm. that reason that I've kind of taken a different path in the way that I coach. Is not traditional yoga at all, but it's still very much yoga because, you know, it's... if you really, it's the intention behind it, and that breathing deeply, paying attention to what you're doing. It's not like just going through a set of reps at the gym. So I think that sort of mindfulness component to it is really what makes it yoga.
I like that. I also think that you mentioned earlier balance, and that seems to be an important part of yoga. The breathing. Also, these are things that a lot of us, if we're out there stretching, for example, or we're doing a push-up or something like that, we might not necessarily think of it being a whole body thing. We might get kind of caught up in the move for the moment and not include the whole body.
Sure.
So what will going through some of your programs help with benefiting us runners? Because, of course, that's we're always interested in being better runners, and how will this allow us to do that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is jazz yoga helps athletes to become more balanced and resilient, as runners and as humans. And, mm-hmm. I think that for runners coming to jazz yoga, it's really about really becoming aware, more aware of your body and what's going on, and being able to intentionally create more balance. Because, you know, as I said, your body's designed for balance. It's designed this way for a reason. And yet, you know, everything we do takes our body out of balance, whether you're sitting all day at a computer or you're out, you know, running a marathon or 100 miles, that takes us out of balance. So it's about really slowing down and creating a little bit of space to intentionally correct yourself back to balance. And, you know, it's not about like trying to squeeze another thing in, because I think sometimes the idea of yoga can be intimidating because people feel like they need to go to, you know, an hour, 90-minute class at a yoga studio, and that's not always very practical. But I think that what I'm trying to do is give runners and athletes the self-awareness to understand what's happening in their body and start to really pinpoint some of the imbalances that are happening. They might not even feel like an issue or an injury yet, but when we can start to spot some of that stuff ahead of time and be a little bit more, preventative in our approach, that goes such a long way to keeping us healthy and just optimizing our performance over the long haul. And as I said, it's not about going to an hour class. It's about having the awareness to know, oh, actually, I only need to do this one thing that is going to take me 2 minutes max. And actually, just that one thing, that's doing yoga, because I'm doing it very purposefully. And like, that is the one thing that my body most needs. For example, runners often complain about calf and shin pain, or, you know, all kinds of lower leg stuff, even going down into the Achilles, plantar fasciitis, and in my opinion, in what I've found over the years, like the most effective like stretch or move to address that is calf pumping, which takes literally like 1 minute. And just doing that one thing, in some cases, I would argue as a runner, you'd get more benefit from doing that one thing for 2 minutes than you would from going to some random hour-long yoga class.
Interesting. Now, what do you mean by calf pumping? Could you describe that motion?
I can, yes. And I will say that there's two videos that address this. One is called Quick Calf Reset, and the other one is called Preventative Medicine for Lower Legs and Feet. So those are two videos that walk you through routines. And then in the book Hit Reset, there's a whole chapter about the lower legs and feet that kind of explains calf pumping. But there's a few ways to do it. One way would be to just come onto all fours and extend one leg behind you, keep your toes tucked under on the floor, and rock your weight forward and back. And you'll start to feel, you'll start to feel more circulation down the back of your leg. Some people will feel a bit of a hamstring stretch as well, but you'll start to feel it into your calf. You'll start to feel it into your foot. This helps to really draw circulation down into a very, the lower leg, the calf, is a very dense structure of musculature. And it's really important to maintain the fluidity of that area. So doing it from all fours is kind of the most gentle approach. And the more aggressive approach would be to come into a deep squat with your feet a bit wider than hips width apart, heels mm-hmm. turned in, toes turned out slightly. So you'll need to kind of drop your bum down as low as you can, lift your heels up high. So you kind of need to navigate how much space you need between your feet. And then you simply lift and lower your heels while you're down there in that deep squat. You lift your heels up high, then you drop them as close to the floor as you can. And for most of us, you don't have to get your heels to the floor. That's not the goal. So you're just lifting and mm-hmm. lowering your heels. And you'll feel it. It feels like work. It feels hard at the time, as if you're almost doing like a strength move. But then when you're done, then you feel the relief, because it's really brought in all that blood flow and circulation back into the muscles. And I will say with the deep squat, that can be hard for some people who, have some limitations with knee range of motion or knee pain. So you can always stay up a bit higher and rest your hands, on your coffee table or a table mm-hmm. and lift and lower your heels, and you can still get plenty of benefit.
So kind of a modified version for people who might be suffering from knee pain.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, you talked about earlier in the interview about some yoga positions, yoga moves working against you if they are used inappropriately or incorrectly for the goal that you're trying to accomplish. So can you give us an example of runners using it correctly versus using it incorrectly?
Right. So in my opinion, this is speaks more broadly to the difference between, the most popular or mainstream type of yoga that you see nowadays is kind of like a power yoga or power flow or power vinyasa, these types of practices, which are, they're very strong and deliver, they deliver a real workout. In my opinion, most athletes and most runners who are seriously training for things like marathons, the last thing we need is another workout and another way to push our bodies. In my opinion, you know, athletes will benefit a lot more from yoga if they use it as a tool to really create more balance rather than another way to push themselves. And oftentimes that means focusing more on recovery and, you know, these more kind of restorative and injury prevention tools. I just think that athletes get a lot more out of that. So in other words, yoga for athletes is very different than athletic yoga. Because oftentimes when I talk about yoga for athletes, you know, people assume that it's kind of like a very athletic like workout. And certainly like a lot of our content is very challenging and athletic. You know, however, you know, over the years, all the different types of classes and athletes I've taught, even sometimes when I go in with a clear agenda of wanting to really like do more strength stuff, and like 9 times out of 10, like that's actually not what is needed and not what's going to create the most benefit. So it's kind of like the opposite of what you think. So, you know, like I would tell athletes, like, you know, people will say, oh, it's my recovery day, so I'm going to go to a yoga class. Well, if it's your recovery day and you go to a 90-minute power yoga class, that's not a recovery day. That's not recovery. Like yoga doesn't equal recovery either. And so, you know, we have these mindsets of like, oh, to be productive, I need to be really working and going and grinding. And it can be really difficult to shift gears. And that can be really hard for people to kind of allow themselves to, you know, embrace the fact that actually recovery is just as important and equally as productive as everything else that you do. And I would argue that actually you have to do recovery right to get the most out of all of your work.
Right. Wow. That's a lot to think about, because you're right. You know, I guess we think if we're doing something different that we're recovering, but in fact, if it's not the right thing that we're doing, then we might not be recovering. We certainly might not be doing optimal options for our running, for optimal running.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for when it comes to yoga, you know, when it comes to runners, all yoga is not created equally. And like, also like, think about this, like how pissed off would you be if you got injured in a yoga class? Right. I mean, I would be pretty pissed off if I was like training for my goal race and I, you know, and I pulled my hamstring in a yoga class. I mean, that's pretty counterproductive. So, you know, I think we need to really think about what we're doing and why.
And you've got a lot of good examples in all of the videos that you offer. So lots of good information and demonstration, which is also important for us to be able to understand what you're asking us to do or what you're offering for us to be able to improve as runners. Mm-hmm. Now, I did want to go into, besides your yoga business, I want to talk about that a bit later, but you're also an author. So tell us about your books.
I wrote Hit Reset, Revolutionary Yoga for Athletes. It came out in 2015. It's my first book. And this book is really kind of the foundation of my body of work from the last decade. The whole premise of the book is that your body is designed for balance. And it offers, you know, basically a guided tour of your whole body, taking you through a series of assessments of each area of your body to help you kind of root out imbalance, coupled with very clear solutions for how to address those imbalances. And it was a really exciting project to do. Collaborating with athletes, including Lauren Fleshman, and triathlete Lindsay Corbin, and a number of others. It's designed to be very, you know, visually immersive, and it's all photographed in situ. So we photographed, you know, on the track, on the field, places that athletes actually would be doing yoga rather than just, you know, in a serene yoga studio, which would be nice, but maybe is not always practical for most of us.
Right. Time management.
Exactly. So that was my first book. And then my second book, Work In, is a book about recovery. And, you know, we've been talking about recovery a little bit, and it's a topic I'm really passionate about. And it just, like, in all of my work, that just has really continues to just emerge as the common thread of really what I see athletes needing most are, you know, physical practices to aid and optimize the recovery or their all of their training, so that they can actually absorb and integrate all of the hard work that they're doing, as well as mental focus training to really help us to be able to make a more intentional shift in our heads from working to not working, because that can be a really difficult transition to make that really impedes the recovery process, I think, more than people even realize. So Work In really offers athletes both mental and physical tools to do recovery right. And it has a month-long plan that you can follow to really, really put all of the tools into practice.
And how many days would be optimal for runners to add yoga into their workout regimen?
I mean, like anything, consistency is key, and the more the merrier. But, you know, in my opinion, you know, spending 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes every day or almost every day is a lot more powerful than going to one random yoga class a week. Like 5 minutes a day,
gotcha,
of intentional mm-hmm. work on areas that you really know you need, you know, that you really need to bring back into balance. You're going to get so much more from that than just going to some random yoga class.
And this may be in addition to what you just said, but the benefits of online yoga over taking a class would allow that kind of 5 minute, and not just online, but, you know, you can take it on your phone. You can use it after your workout, after your running workout. You can use it before your running workout. What are other benefits of online yoga over taking a class?
Well, I mean, definitely the accessibility, I think, is really the key, because I think that's really like the biggest barrier for time-starved mm-hmm. athletes, mm-hmm. you know, people with big, busy lives. And, you know, also let's be honest, like marathon training is pretty time consuming. You know, if you're right. running high mileage, you're not going to have a lot of time to be going to live classes. I mean, obviously you can't, there is so much benefit to going to a class where you can actually be face to face with a teacher who can actually look at your body and make corrections. You know, that's highly valuable. But even going to yoga classes, oftentimes they're just so big, you don't really get any individual attention anyway. So
indeed.
I think that, you know, finding some really practical routines for in the context of what you're trying to accomplish and having those available to you anytime, anywhere, I think that it doesn't really get yeah. much better than that.
Yeah, the convenience of online yoga makes a huge amount of sense to me. And that way, putting 5 or 10 minutes a day right before or during or after your workout can actually be something that we can budget in our training regimens, because most of us don't want to do anything but run, and we know we should. So
right.
this makes it possible.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now you have actually offered our listeners a free opportunity to try Jazz Yoga for a month. And we're going to give all the details at the end of this interview. But please tell us a little bit more about this and what a great opportunity it is.
Yeah, so happy to share a free month of Jazz Yoga video, which gives you access to the entire library at video.jazzyoga.com. And once you've redeemed that on the website, you can download and start using our free app as well, which, you know, is all the same content just available on your phone. So you kind of have the ability to stream it however, you know, makes the most sense for you.
Yeah, now we'll also put this in our show notes. So in addition to getting the full details at the end of the interview, then we'll also have it in writing on our notes. So you'll be able to refer to it there as well. So thank you for that. Thank you for that offer. We are getting kind of close to running out of time here. And I wanted to ask you a question because you are a busy working mom, family woman in the middle of a move at the moment. Good luck on that one. But how do you schedule a day to fit in time for your work, your family, and your own fitness?
To be honest, you know, for where I'm at right now, really scheduling and planning things, you know, is challenging because I have such young children. My kids are 1 and 3, and young children are very unpredictable. And I've had very, very limited childcare and support the last few years since my daughter was born. So, you know, in a lot of ways, that's been really challenging because I used to practice a ton. I used to meditate twice a day. I used to practice for like 90 minutes. You know, I loved doing, you know, just doing a lot of yoga, a lot of meditation, you know, a lot of working with athletes face to face. But, you know, family life has really taught me how to be more flexible and just to embrace where I'm at. And in terms of yoga, that's really meant doing what I can when I can. And I've really come to, you know, understand that anything is better than nothing. I think sometimes we do feel like, oh, I'm not going to get anything out of it if I can't do a half hour or a full hour, but, you know, or, you know, it's like, oh, 5 minutes isn't going to make a difference, but actually it does. It really does. And so, you know, I just look for opportunities throughout the day to do, you know, a stretch here or just sit and breathe for a few minutes there. And, you know, I find when I really, you know, have that intention, I do find little pockets throughout the day. And, you know, by the end of the day, I will have gotten a couple little 5 minute sessions in addressing things that I know I need to work on, areas that are feeling sore, bothering me, or that I want to strengthen. And so that's been really valuable. And I think it's always been valuable for Jazz Yoga because it's really got me thinking more and more about just practicality and finding really, really effective solutions that we can do in the smallest pockets of time. And it makes a really big difference. And I would argue that definitely my kids and everyone around me has, you know, has benefits from me even taking 2 minutes to just reset myself in that way.
I think you're talking about intention is really healthy too, because this mind and matter, mind and body kind of connection, having the intention to fit it in when you can, but it's not necessarily actually scheduled. It's just at the end of the day, you want to be able to look and say, okay, I got in those 2 5-minutes and I feel better about myself, my family benefits from this. And yet all of the other priorities that I have in my life are being attempted to be covered as well. So good intentions are really an important part of making this work.
They are for sure. And I will say, I developed this habit when I was actually in the process of writing work in, which I did basically in a year of my daughter's nap times. Every day when she would nap, that's when I would do my work. And you know, I think a lot of like mothers and fathers can relate to this, like this moment when you finally get a little window of time to yourself, and it can be really paralyzing when you feel like, oh my gosh, there's so many things I need to do. And, you know, you just immediately start like triaging. So I created this rule for myself that like, as soon as she falls asleep, like the first thing I have to do is a minimum of 5 minutes of yoga. You know, that could, some days that might mean just lying on a bolster and breathing. Some days I might do 5 minutes of core work. Like I have to do a minimum of 5 minutes to myself just to like bring my focus back into my own body and reset before I start trying to do all the things. And I found that, you know, that 5 minutes often then ended up becoming like 20 minutes just because I would get into it. And then I would feel so much better after. And then I would actually not miss out on time when I could be working, because then I was so much productive working after having that time to myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. That this kind of stuff is the stuff that really makes things work and makes things happen. And you're making it happen. So we are going to be moving into the final kick, but is there anything else that you would like to add before we change gears?
Do some yoga today. Anything is better than nothing. If anything, like I would want someone to, all of you who are listening, to walk away from this, to just feel inspired to do something, do anything, do 2 minutes, do 30 seconds, do something for your body and feel the difference.
You put a lot of time, effort, and passion into your training, and you deserve to maximize each and every mile you run. In this series of masterclasses, we're going to discuss the specific physiological demands of your goal race distance. We have classes for every distance from 5K to the marathon. Each masterclass is also going to show you a specific progression of workouts designed to target these physiological demands so you can be optimally prepared on race day. At the end of the 45-minute discussion, we'll hold a 30 to 40-minute question and answer session where we will answer any of your training questions that we can. To sign up for one of the free sessions, just head to runnersconnect.net/go. We are back with Run to the Top podcast with Erin Taylor, author, athlete, businesswoman, founder of Jazz Yoga. Erin, are you ready to head into the final kick?
I am.
All right, let's do this. So, a favorite local run or outdoor location for working out in your neighborhood?
So, here in London, I live in the Angel pocket of Islington, which is pretty central in London. And my favorite run, and actually part of why we ended up moving to this particular neighborhood, is because I wanted to be able to walk out of our door and go for a run. And I didn't want to have to commute somewhere to run. And so we live right on Regent's Canal in Angel, which has a fantastic canal path that goes for miles. And so my favorite run is to just head out on the canal and see how far I get. There's a number of parks along the way that you can pull off of the main path and go run in the park if you prefer, or you can run all the way down the canal to Olympic Park, where the Olympics were in London. So that's really cool. So it's just kind of like, there's so much you can do just on Regent's Canal in London. Highly recommend if you're ever in town.
Thank you. And stroller accessible, I'm guessing.
It is, for sure. I often make the mistake of going during like peak commute times, just if it's like the only time, if it's like the only time I know I can go for a run, sometimes I'll just brave it. Cause you know, it can be quite busy with people cycling, and I'm just like the crazy lady pushing like two wild monkeys in her stroller. And I've gotten some pretty crazy looks. I don't think in general, I don't think Londoners are as into like stroller running as kind of other pockets of, well, I'm from California originally. So it's, just a little different, but I get it. We get it done.
Yeah, good for you. Okay, second question here, a book that has inspired, entertained, or educated you.
Two books that I have loved, just, you know, in building my own knowledge in just body work for athletes and training would be, I love Jay Dechary's books. He has a book called Anatomy for Runners, which I think is a really important read. And his newer book, Running Rewired, is a fantastic resource and program. And then I would also highly recommend Matt Dixon's book, The Fast Track Triathlete, not necessarily like for runners, but equally as applicable for runners. Just Matt just has a fantastic approach for time-starved individuals, and he's a fantastic resource.
And let's spell Jay's last name, because it's a bit strange, but correct me if I'm wrong. It's D as in David, I-C-H-A-R-R-Y.
That's right.
And this will be in our show notes as well, both of these authors, both of these books. So you can look that up there as well. And okay, question number three, a person you know and would recommend that our listeners might enjoy listening to on Run to the Top podcast.
I think that they would really enjoy listening to Matt or Jay, who I just mentioned, who are just such valuable resources, and, you know, who can also, you know, touch on just the benefits of adding yoga into your training.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm trying to get Jay on the show, actually, and he has out something new about feet. So we'll ask him about yoga when we get him on for the foot part. So that's a good suggestion. And we are now on part four, which is giving us contact information, how our listeners can stay in touch with you, learn more about Jazz Yoga, and also give us full details on the free 30 days.
Sure. So you can learn more about Jazz Yoga at jazzyoga.com. And please redeem a free month of Jazz Yoga video at video.jazzyoga.com. Simply enter code RUNNERSCONNECTRESET, and then it will get you all set up. And, you know, you can cancel any time after that if you don't want to carry on. But definitely get in there into Yoga for Runners library and just play around. See if anything resonates with you, and feel the difference. And I will say also, once you've used the code and got your free month set up at video.jazzyoga.com, then you can download and start using our free app. But you can't apply the code into the app. You've gotta get yourself set up on the site first, and then you can start using the app for free.
Good information. And Erin, this has been a really informative talk. I think you've really looked into yoga as an asset for athletes specifically. Much appreciated. We do need to have that reassurance that we're not going to turn into yogis and, you know, be stretched out like noodles. There's something about running that means, you know, running always has to be at the top of it, and everything else has to be enhancing that running. So thank you so much for doing that for us today. And may yoga be a huge part of your life and enhance the well-being of you and those around you for many years to come.
Thank you, Stephanie.
So great having you on. Now, you've been listening to Erin Taylor, founder of Jazz Yoga. Thank you, our audience, for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. Follow us at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/FB. Subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. This way you'll never miss a new episode. And thank you, each of you, for listening. We'll be back next week with another super interview to entertain, educate, and inspire you as you head out on your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top, wishing you a great week of running.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.